Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. Welcome to our service this morning. First day of November. It's good to see everybody here in God's house this morning. Those that's joined by radio, we want to welcome them, and those that's joined by Facebook. We're going to sing a song of commitment and obedience this morning. Jesus is Lord of all. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing, Jesus is Lord of all. One more time, okay? King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord. Great song of commitment and obedience, and a key to contentment, I think, is making Jesus Lord of all. Again, we'll welcome you to our service today. Visitors, if we have any today, we welcome you to our service. Greet each other before we sit down this morning. Good to have you here today.
Well, good morning, folks, and welcome you to our on-site worship service. I also want to welcome our Facebook listeners and watchers and radio listeners and welcome you to our service today. I'll be preaching again from Philippians 4, so you can be prepared for that. Well, I see some of you still have your Halloween costumes on, so you weren't supposed to do that, but that's okay. It's good that we can be together today. And let me reassure you about some things. We are doing everything that we can to make this building safe. And we want you to feel safe. And we always pray for good health. God keep us, healthy and keep us safe. In this building over here, the way we're spread out, that's good. There's a center unit up over here in this building. It's called an Aon unit. It works a little bit different than this regular central heat and air, but what it does, it keeps fresh air in here all the time. It pulls bad air out, and it runs, all the time that we're in here. Also this week, we've ordered some more things that's going to help us to in keeping the building clean and sanitized. So we're working on those things. And we just want you to feel safe about being here in this building. So that's why we're going to continue doing what we're doing. Another thing I want to talk about was as far as our technology is sound and Facebook and what we're doing with radio and all that. We're going to continue doing that. And I know from time to time we have issues, but we're trying to resolve all those. And so through the week, we have people come in and, they're working on things and we're working on internet and all that. And we're just trying to get it to where, we can do what we do to the best that we can. So we're trying to resolve all those issues, and hopefully we can, do that. So we are at work, and we're doing those things to get the word out, get the gospel out, and for us to have church, okay? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for the time of worship that you've given us. As always, Lord, we pray that you would keep us safe and healthy. We pray, Lord, as we worship you today, that we would honor you in what we do. I pray that you would bless our preparations today for this worship time. I ask, dear God, that we would open our hearts to your will for this time of worship. And Lord, we pray for our nation this week as Election Day is drawing near. Father, we know that you're in control, and we know that you're a great God. And so we just pray, Lord, for your will. We know that you already know the outcome of things that will happen this week. And Lord, we're just trusting you and looking to you. I pray that our nation would turn to you and look to you. Lord, we're in trouble. We are. And I pray that we would humble ourselves, that we would repent of our sin and come back to you, because that's where the hope is. Our hope is in you. And Father, we just pray that as we go forward, that we would look to you for the answers that we need, the guidance we need, and the protection that we need for our nation. We thank you, Lord, for the religious freedoms and liberties that we have. We pray, God, that we could always keep those, and we could always be a nation that would look to you and pray to you and worship you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. As Pastor mentioned, him and I both agree that whatever we do needs to be the best we can do. The product we produce, the services we do, it should be the best. And many of you know this, but there's people also keeping us safe outside of here. We have a security team that's watching everything outside, watching our vehicles and who comes in, so you're safe there as well. So we want to appreciate them that take care of that every Sunday. We're going to start our next set of songs, our two hymns, and then also the praise team songs they're going to be singing. It's about not having fear, but having faith. And I think that's very important as a Christian, that our faith is in him and not the things of this world. So we're going to sing, He Hideth My Soul, and Faith is the Victory. So you join in with us as we sing. I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Encamped along the hills of life, ye soldiers, rogers, rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love Truer words, I don't think, have been written. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. As the praise team comes forward, we're going to continue with that theme. First, whom shall I fear? That's one that we've sang before. Then there'll be a new one that we're going to sing after that. I will fear no more. So if you could stand and join with us on the first one, stand please and join in with us.
You hear me when I call, you are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, I cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. Always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Nothing formed against me shall stand. Is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The He reigns forever. He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is all.
be seated. He is always by our side. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Again, this is a new song. It's a popular song on Christian radio today. I will fear no more.
Every anxious thought that steals my breath, it's a heavy weight upon my chest. As I lie awake and wonder what the future will hold, help me to remember that you're in control. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will lift my eyes. I will lift my cares. Lay them in your hands. I'll leave them there. When the wind and waves are coming, you shelter me. Even though I'm in the storm is not in me. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will fear no more. No power can come against me, for you have overcome. No darkness can overwhelm me, for you've already won. No power can come against me, for you have overcome. No darkness can overwhelm me, for you've already won. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will fear no more. I will fear no more. Will fear no more. I will fear no more.
Heavenly Father, as we lift up your name in praise, God, help us to take those words to heart where your word tells us that you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but God, give us a spirit of faith and trust in you, and we will fear no more because our trust is in you. And you promise to never leave us or forsake us, and when the battle rages, God, you're with us. We thank you for that hope and assurance. Open our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, worship team, and congregation for your singing today. In Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to be preaching today about a secret that the Apostle Paul learned. And we'll bring this series to a conclusion that we've been in. Worry less and live more. And through this series, we've talked about what the Bible has taught us about how to worry less and live more. And it began with the right kind of praying, the right kind of thinking, the right kind of living. The result of that was peace, the peace of God, peace with God, and to know the God of peace. So Paul brings this to a conclusion today. And he's going to talk about where all that takes us. And it takes us to the secret of contentment. Now, Paul doesn't discourage ambition. He doesn't discourage goals in life. That's not what this is about. This message is not about indifference. It's not having the attitude of don't care. But it's to show you today in a very simple way what the Bible has to say about contentment. We live in a very discontent day, and it's seen in society, it's seen in culture. There's just a lot of discontent. There's a lot of things going on today in our culture and world and society that's real. I was talking to Karen earlier, and some of the latest statistics, the greatest increase in depression is among 15 to 21-year-olds, going through the roof. The highest rate of suicide right now in America is age 54 and up. So this thing's real. I mean, it's real. And I'm not downplaying that. But what I am doing today is showing you from the Bible what the Bible has to say about the issues that we're facing in life today that are real. And these emotional issues that's going on, I mean, you can just go down the list. From this pandemic that we've been in with COVID-19, there's two epidemics that have come out of it. One, the number one is depression. Number two is anxiety. And it's real. There's the emotions of anger. There's emotions of hate. There's emotions of fear. And those things are real. And I'm not downplaying that. But here's what we need to understand. The Bible says don't give Satan a stronghold in your life. And those emotions can open the door to the stronghold of Satan in your life. Don't give your life to anger. Don't give your life to frustration. Don't give your life to bitterness or anything like that, because that becomes a stronghold. And so what Paul is going to show us here is how to get to that place of contentment, of finding true contentment in life. And so what I want to do is just, I'll read some of these verses as we go through this, and then we'll go to it, you know, go through it in a very, very simple way. It was Charles Kelly who defined contentment this way. He said, "Christian contentment is the God-given ability to be satisfied with the loving provision of God in any and every situation." And now, what you need to understand today, though, as we get into this, is what the world says that brings contentment is a whole lot different than what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to be talking about the values of Scripture and the values of the Word of God and the values that the Apostle Paul learned in his life that brought him contentment. So that's what we're going to be talking about. The Greek New Testament word for contentment, of course, is translated contentment in our Bible, is satisfied, adequate, competent, or sufficient. Now, I want to get into now the things that the Apostle Paul learned that brought contentment to him. Number one is the providence of God. Paul learned contentment by trusting in the providence of God. In Philippians 4:11, you see it here, "Not that I speak in regard to need. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." And where he learned that in this chapter is through the providence of God. Paul said, I've learned this. Verse 12, the verb there is, I've learned the secret to contentment. And the secret to contentment to him, first of all, was the providence of God. Now, the word providence, if you think about this, what it means, provide. God's provision for your life and God's provision for my life. To believe in the sovereignty of God, to believe that God is in control. And until we believe that, we'll never have contentment. I believe in the sovereignty of God. And I believe that He is in control. And that is the providence of God. God's providence means that God is working in circumstances and situations in your life and my life to fulfill His purpose. Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for good for them who love God, for those called according to His purpose. That is the providence of God. There are many examples of that in the Bible. You go back to Joseph. He said, you guys meant this thing that happened to him for bad, but God meant it for good. You look at Queen Esther in the Old Testament, Ruth in the Old Testament, and God worked, you know, the providence in their life. Paul said he had learned to be content in the midst of things that happened to him. He did not say he was content in those bad things. He wasn't content being in prison. And when you read the New Testament, you see where the Apostle Paul was beaten. The Apostle Paul was thrown out of cities. The Apostle Paul's life was threatened. He was in shipwreck. And then eventually, tradition tells us that he was beheaded in Rome by Nero. So that's not what he was content about. But in all that, he found his contentment. And he said, this is what I've learned. Paul said, I've got this. If anything in life I have learned through experience and through my spiritual maturity, I've learned this. I've learned to be content. Sometimes we think it's easier to find contentment in abundance than we do in times of stress. Years ago, there was a newspaper columnist by the name of Thomas Carlyle. And he made this statement. He said, adversity is sometimes hard upon a man, but for one man who can stand prosperity, there are 100 that will stand adversity. In other words, he says, just being rich doesn't mean that you find contentment. Having everything and all the material stuff that the world says will make you happy doesn't mean you're going to have contentment. He did an interview of some prominent businessmen. 25 years later, he went back and he re-examined his article that he wrote. 25 years later, of these leaders in the financial world, here's what he found. One was insolvent. One had just recently been released from prison because of embezzlement. These were very, you know, wealthy people. Two had committed suicide. And here's his summary of that. In summarizing these men, here's what the columnist said. He said, all of these men had learned how to make big money, but not one of them had learned how to live. Paul said, I've learned in good times and bad times to be content. He says, I know what it is to be content in times of abundance. Now, here's what the Bible scholars tell us about that, that before Paul became a Christian, in Paul's former life, before what he became for Christ and the ministry he had, Paul was very affluent. He was raised in an affluent home. He had all the stuff that a person would want. Paul says, I know that side of it. But he also says, I know the other side of it too. I know the prosperity side of it, and I know the poverty side of it. But he says, I have learned to be content in any situation. Philippians 4:11-12 has been explained this way, that there are four basic things here the believers to be concerned about: what I put on, clothes, what I put in, food, what I put up, a house to live in, what I put away, money for the future. But Paul said, I have learned. He said, I've learned the secret to being content. And he said, it is the providence of God to believe that God is going to provide for me in every circumstance along the way. The secret of his contentment was that he kept his focus on eternity. Colossians 3:2 says it this way, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The hard things here, Paul's saying in that verse, the weight, the things that weigh me down in life are only temporary compared to what eternity is going to be for me. So he believed in the providence of God. A man once came to Socrates, that Greek philosopher, and asked him about the unhappiness of one of his friends. Here's what Socrates said. He said, the trouble with that man is that he takes himself with him wherever he goes. The second secret to contentment that Paul talks about here is seen in verse 13. And that is that his contentment was the result of the power of God in his life. I can do all things through Christ, verse 13. Which strengthens me. In other words, his strength didn't come from an outward source. It wasn't his resources that he had that gave him the strength, but it was an inward strength. It was God in his life. It was the person of the Holy Spirit. It was his faith in Christ. His contentment was not in a place, but his contentment was in the person of Jesus Christ. How do we find that? Where's that strength come from? Well, prayer, worship, Bible study, God's Spirit, what we're doing today and worshiping together, that's the strength. And we need that strength. We need that inner strength. Paul says, I've found the secret to contentment, the providence of God and the power of God in my life. The power of the Holy Spirit is where I gain that contentment in life. Contentment comes to those who confidently trust in God's power rather than their own resources. And then there's a third place that he found the contentment. And that's seen in verse 19. Paul said, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So the third secret to his contentment was guaranteed by the promise of God. And the promise of God is this: I will supply all your need. Folks, I believe that promise. That promise is guaranteed by God. And so Paul, look at his contentment here. Now, he was in bad circumstance. He's in prison when he's writing this. You talk about isolation. You know, we know what isolation is with COVID-19. Here's a guy that, you know, he was isolated. He couldn't get out and do ministry like he used to. He couldn't take his missionary journeys anymore. He couldn't go from church to church and preach the gospel. So here's a guy that knows what things are about. And so what he's saying, though, is that the promise that is guaranteed by God, that God will supply all my need is where I found this contentment. Now, someone has broken down the promise this way. It's a personal promise, my God. It's a positive promise, shall supply. It's a pointed promise, all your need. It's a plentiful promise according to his riches in glory. It's a powerful promise by Jesus Christ. Now, that's the theology of contentment. That's what the Bible has to say about contentment in Philippians 4. The providence of God, the power of God, and the promise of God. Now, I want to talk now about this secret of contentment just in a very practical way. How do we get there? How do we live this out? 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 9. And I'll read a few of these verses. And this is Paul writing again in Timothy. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare. Is it a sin to be rich? No. Is it wrong to be rich? No. Look at Abraham, how rich he was. He was wealthy. Job was a wealthy man. Joseph of Arimathea, who came and got the body of Jesus after the crucifixion, he's a very wealthy man. That's not the problem. Well, where is the problem here? Well, it's to fall into the temptation and snare. What's the temptation and snare? To trust in our resources rather than God. That's what the problem is. And so it says that it has brought, you know, it has drowned people. It's brought destruction, perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not the money, but the love of it, for which some have strayed from their faith, from the faith and their greediness, and brought many sorrows. So see, that's the problem. But here's the point. Paul said, I found my contentment this way. It's not in the things of the world. It's okay to have the things of the world, but he said, that's not where it is. You see, one of the greatest contentment ways to learn contentment in life is this. To come to that place where we understand we really don't own anything. We are only managers of what God has given us. The Bible says we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of this world, is what the Bible says to us. All of this is on loan from God. And see, what the Bible calls that, the word the Bible uses is stewardship. It's a stewardship. We're managers of what God has given us. So contentment comes when we understand that we're only managers of God's blessings that he allows in our life. And one author that I read said this. He said, what we need to be with our contentment and all that God has blessed us with is to hold it with an empty hand. All that we have, just hold it with an empty hand because it belongs to him anyway. Now, how do we apply this in a practical way, what he's talking about here? There's three ways. Number one, the Bible says we are to enjoy what we have. You see, happiness really is a choice. And it comes down to an attitude. It really is an attitude of where we are. God wants you to enjoy life. He does. And he wants me to enjoy life. God enjoys watching us enjoy life. He's watching us and he wants to see us enjoy what he's given us. Ecclesiastes 5:19 says it this way, if God gives a man wealth and property, he should be grateful and enjoy what he has. It is a gift from God. So enjoy life. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So enjoy it. Be happy. God wants us to enjoy life and just not endure it. Enjoy life. Know the joy of the Lord. Have enjoyment in the things. You see, many times what we do is get caught up in when and then thinking. You know what when and then thinking is? When I get this blank job, then I'll be happy. When I get married, I will be happy. If I can get moved to this location, then I will be happy. That's the kind of thinking, when and then. But what the Bible says is enjoy where you are now. Enjoy the place that God has placed you now. Enjoy what God is doing in your life now, is what the Bible says. And be grateful for what we have. The second practical way to do it is to remember that life is not about things. Luke 12:15, Jesus said, "Watch out and guard yourself from every kind of greed, because your true life is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you may be." And that is the truth. There's a prayer in Proverbs that a man prayed, and I want you to listen to this prayer that he prayed. It's found in Proverbs 37:9. "Oh God, I ask for two things from you before I die. First, help me never to tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs, for if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name." That's a good prayer. When I read that verse, I'm always reminded about this lady that came up to me at a church I pastored in Cleveland. And she asked me this question. She said, "Do you believe that if I'm at a place where I'm going hungry, that God would be okay with me if I stole food, if I went out and stole stuff to eat?" And I thought about that, and it kind of took me off guard. And I said, "I don't believe in stealing, and I don't believe that God wants you to steal. But I do believe that if you're hungry, that God will provide for you. You don't have to go against what the Word of God says about stealing in order to have your needs met. And I believe that God will provide." And that's something that the providence of God, the power of God, the promise of God, that's what it's all about. And it's looking to Him. It's looking beyond this life to the God who owns everything. I went back to read the verse in Psalms that says, you know, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And as the old farmer said, he owns the taters under those hills too. You know, God owns it all. And He's given us, you know, all this to enjoy. Number three, focus on what will last forever. The Scripture says this in 2 Corinthians 4:18. We fix our attention, in other words, we focus, not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a lifetime, for a time, but what cannot be seen will last forever. In other words, it's all temporary. There are two things that the Bible says last forever. The Bible says the Word of God will last forever. The second thing that the Bible says will last forever is people. So the Word of God and people. Now when we talk about people lasting forever, you know what that is? That's your soul. That's the real you. That's who you are. Not this body, but your soul. Who you are will last forever. Matthew 16:26, Jesus said it this way, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world. Now, Jesus is using hyperbole there. There's no way that one person could own the whole world. But he's making a point. If you could gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, the common everyday way to understand that verse, what Jesus is saying is this. If you sell your soul for the things of this world, and you reject the gospel, and you reject salvation, and you reject Jesus Christ, what amount of money can buy your soul out of hell? No amount. You see, there are two places. Either we'll spend eternity in heaven or hell. And the Bible's clear about that. There's no uncertainty about that. And so then contentment is where we find our peace with God. And it's to focus on things that will last forever. And to understand that this world here is temporary. So the question is this. What value system are we going to live for? Are we going to live for the value system of the Bible and find our contentment there, of the value system of the world? Where's our contentment going to be found? What are we going to live for? Who are we going to live for? See, that's what it's about. What's going to be the basis of my lifestyle? Is it going to be God's Word or the world's value system? Psalm 17:15 says this, and then I'll close. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. True satisfaction comes from the common grace of God that He gives us. It comes from His providence. It comes from His power. It comes from His promise. God wants us to enjoy life and live life. Have happy life. God wants us to have all that. And the way to have that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you do not have that relationship, I encourage you to get that settled. You see, contentment is found in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. What the psalmist is saying there, he said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in your presence. He was satisfied, you know, with his relationship with the Lord. But what he's saying there is this, where we'll really find eternal satisfaction is when we get to heaven and we live forever and ever and ever in the presence of the Lord. We won't have any problems. We won't have any troubles. We won't have any worries. We won't have to worry about all the stuff that we deal with here that brings discontentment. All that will be gone. And I'll be satisfied when I wake up in your presence. And see, that's the promise of the Lord. See, there's a difference. You want to wake up in heaven. You don't want to wake up in hell. And that's the difference of eternity. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of the Bible. And what the Apostle Paul did today here with these scriptures is just to show us where true contentment can be found. True contentment is found in your providence. Is found in your power in our life, and is found in the promises that you've given to us. Lord, I'm glad that you've given us this life to live. I'm so thankful for the friends and family that you give us. And Lord, I just pray that we'd enjoy what you've given us, and that we'd enjoy life and find happiness. Lord, you just don't want us to endure life and go through life all down and out all the time. You want us to enjoy what you've given us. And Father, we're thankful for all that you've given us. All the things that we have that make life enjoyable, pleasurable. But Lord, I pray also that we would have our focus on eternity. That we would understand that everything here is this temporary, but eternity is really what matters. I pray for those who need to establish a relationship with you today. I pray that they would come. Those who've never been saved, may they come today and find their contentment in you. Bless us during this invitation time and help us to be thankful always for all that you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Thank you for being here today. Love you all. Appreciate it. We can find contentment in the Lord. You know, that's where we want to be. That's where we all want to be. But it seems like in our society today and culture today that it's, you know, that contentment is so elusive. I mean, and we're chasing it. We're chasing it. We're running after it. And what I want to do is just bring us back to focus today and really, you know, talk about Scripture and in a very simple and practical way. So I hope that this message will help all of us, okay? Go in God's grace and peace this week. If you have an offering you'd like to give, the offering plates will be at the door. This month also, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we will be receiving a love offering for missions. So this is the month for our love offering for missions. So be thinking about that also, okay? Okay. Come and dismiss us, please.
As we close our service this morning, we're going to sing a Worship the King, Sing to the King. And there's a line in this song that says, He is all we need. And as our pastor brought out in the message today, true contentment is with Him, and He is all that we need. So you join in with us as we close our service with Sing to the King.
Worship the King of glorious above and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion in splendor and girded with grace. sing a song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. Sing to the
great week. You're dismissed.